This podcast is offered by Jikoji Zen Center on the web at jikoji.org. Our programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
So, start off. Okay, for those listening to the recording, I just mentioned that Michelle Ryan, who is sitting over here, the Oreo is her favorite food, but she does not... Among cookies resembling the Oreo, the actual Oreo is somewhere in the middle, I guess. And then Trader Joe's puts out an Oreo-style cookie that's called a JoJo, and that's somewhere below the But she is researching to find ideal Oreo. So then after discussing that, we went around the table and what is your Oreo? You know, your highest food or your highest thing? And mine was Milwaukee Brewers baseball. I'm from Milwaukee. It's and I love baseball. You're not supposed to think during Zazen, but I was just I was just thinking that, what I would like, I think ideally my Oreo should be Zazen, because I'm a practitioner and it would make me probably a better teacher if my Oreo was Zazen. But unfortunately, the baseball season is just starting. And I think in the fall, after the playoffs, or after the Brewers are eliminated from the playoffs, then I'm going to switch to Zazen being my Oreo. So that's one thing from breakfast that I can report. The other thing is we were talking about driving around here. Michelle and Taishin, her husband, just arrived here, a couple weeks ago. And I'm here from Milwaukee. I've been here maybe 3 weeks, 4 weeks, something like that. Driving on those curving roads, which you all probably experienced quite recently, can be challenging. And I find that when I'm driving on those roads, I am not as brave as much of the other traffic. They want to come up that hill pretty fast. And what I have learned is if you find a place to pull over on the side of the road, and if there's somebody right on your tail, you can just pull over on the side of the road. And then they pass you, and if they follow the etiquette of driving on these roads, they'll give you two or three flashes on their hazard lights, to say thank you. And so I think that's somewhat Buddhist. It's compassion is what we're about. We in the Mahayana Buddhism. And I guess all Buddhists are about compassion. And so it's compassionate to pull over, and it's compassionate to flash your flashers. And I think another Buddhist quality is, I talked about this last week, is patience. And so to be patient enough so that you're not getting enraged at the slow person in front of you is a virtue, and being watching for the place to pull off and not going off the side of the road is also a patient thing. So those are the things that I can report from breakfast this morning. Actually, the second one is we talked about while washing dishes after breakfast. Anyway, I think I still have time to. I brought a koan to read. Everybody know what a koan is? Like a teaching story from the days of Chan, the days in China, the doings of great teachers and heroes from the Zen, the Chan and Zen past. Anyway, this one, I'm sort of cheating because this is one that I studied for something called my Shuso. You're the head monk. I was in Iowa at this really nice monastery in Iowa, and so at that monastery, what you do is you study one of these koans for several weeks or months, and then you have a ceremony called a Shuso ceremony, and you answer a bunch of questions about the koan, and it's very formal. You have a big staff and you thump it when you answer the question. So here's the koan. It's called Nanchuan Circle. And so we're talking about three guys. Well, here, I'll just read it and then I'll explain a little. Nanchuan, Kuei Tsung, and Ma Ku went together to pay respects to national teacher Cheng. When they got halfway there, Nanchuan drew a circle on the ground and said, "If you can speak, then let's go on." Kuei Tsung sat down inside the circle. Ma Ku curtsied. Nanchuan said, "Then let's not go on." Kuei Tsung said, "What's going on in your mind?" So these three guys were students of one of the great teachers of Chan of Zen in the Tang Dynasty, China. His name was Matsu. What was it? Chu? I can't remember his last name. But he was famous for he transmitted, in other words, he passed the Zen or Chan lineage on to 139 people. So he was a great he I think was the first teacher to involve shouts and blows with a stick to make people enlightened sort of immediately. So that continued for many years, and I think it's pretty well died out. At least the stick there was when I first started practicing, which was 40 years ago, they still had called a kyosaku, and they still they would carry it around the zendo, and if you're sort of nodding off, then they'd sort of, this was my first teacher, Katagiri Roshi, tap you on the shoulder, and then you had to put your head over that way, and then he'd give you a whack right here. It wasn't too hard. I think that it was already on the way out, but now I don't know if anybody does that anymore. Yeah,
I
have
went
you?
to Japan to learn the meditation class, and after sitting there, the teacher actually used it to help relax the muscle. You feel
Oh
great.
yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah,
So did you like it?
actually, it's not very much. It actually helped you after you're sitting for 30 minutes.
Good. Okay, so it's not completely gone. I don't know anybody who does it in the United States, but there may be some still does. Anyway, so but that was Matsu and is it Chiontang? I can't remember his last name. Anyway, these three guys were Nanchuan was sort of the most advanced of the three students, and he so I think that he was a Master Ma, they called him Matsu. His monastery was in in really, I've got it all down here. In Jiangxi province, is that, am I saying that right? Jiangxi, and it was in a, it was near a town called Jing'an. It was called the Baofeng Temple. And so these guys, the national teacher was in what's now called Xi'an, but it was Chang'an in those days. And it was, it's, you know, the national capital during the Tang Dynasty. Anyway, so they were walking from Jing'an to Xi'an, which is quite a long walk. It's about 700 miles. And I guess, you know, they didn't have faster means. Well, yeah, I suppose they could have rode horses, but the story doesn't include that. Anyway, they... So it's, this says that when they were halfway there, they stopped and he drew a circle. So I went on Google Maps and I looked for what was halfway between Jing'an and Xi'an, and it's somewhere in Hubei province near Xiangyang. Does anybody know where that is? Yeah, it's what?
Yes,
in Hubei. Yeah. Okay. So I don't know if that's, you know, some of the versions of this. They say it's they stopped on the way, and they don't say halfway. So but maybe it was near Jiangyan, and I don't know if there was a city back then. If this would have been somewhere in the 8th century. So anyway, he drew a circle, and I was just reading a sort of a commentary on it last night, and he says that so the question in this, you know, every koan has something that you've got to figure out, and we're in the Soto Zen lineage, which is not so concerned with koans as the other main lineage, which is Rinzai. They've got sort of a koan curriculum. You work your way through it, and you're aiming toward enlightenment. And we sort of believe that, and correct me if I'm wrong, Nenzen, but we believe that you're already enlightened. And you're just shikantaza, which is just sitting, that's an expression of your enlightenment. So anyway, where was I going with this? So the commentary I was reading last night said that that actually each of these actions, you know, the drawing of the circle, the sitting in the circle, and did I say that Maku, the third guy, curtsied? Yeah, okay, so that's, in those days, a man would bow, would do a full prostration like we were doing before getting down to the ground, and or maybe even getting all the way down, you know, so that your belly is also on the ground. But women would, and this is what I read, women would make just a standing bow. I think we did standing bows just now. They would make a standing bow because they had makeup on and they had, you know, maybe a silk dress, and you didn't want to mess that all up. So that's what he, so that just means he made a standing bow. I had my teacher, who used to be the abbot here, sent me like a new translation of this koan when I was working on it. And the translation, the commentary on the translation said that that was an example of gender fluidity. And I had a very conservative, well, fairly conservative teacher at in this Iowa monastery, and he was not happy about that translation. He said, "If you believe that, then you weren't paying attention at all when we were talking." But it was just, it was another interesting take on this. Anyway, so this commentary I saw last night was said that each of these actions was perfect. That the drawing of the circle, the sitting in the circle, I think he sat in Zazen in the circle, and then the curtsy was a perfect response to the situation. And then, so what did, that's the question of this koan is, you know, what's his name? Yeah, Nanchuan. What was he thinking? So that was the last question in the koan. What are you thinking? What's going on in your mind? And sometimes it's translated a little more critical, you know, like, what in the heck are you thinking or something? But and so that's the question. And I think my answer when I was studying it was, what was he thinking? You know, we don't have to go somewhere else to be, you know, in the middle of the truth. A few weeks ago, I did talked about another koan, and the thing that stuck with me is that one of my first teachers said, the truth is shining out from under your own feet. And that is, in this one, it seems like, yeah, the truth is shining out from, in this case, under your own seat, you know, if you're sitting in the middle of the circle. So that, it seems, it's, you know, that's what I think it's about now. Anyway, I don't know what else I have to say. If anybody has any questions about Oreos or driving on curvy roads or koans, I am here to answer them if I can. Yes. Yeah.
Except for Zazen.
Yeah, Zazen, right. No, we don't. Yeah. No, your knees would really hurt. Well, the sort of the daily life thing is mindfulness. So if you're aware of where you are, who you're with, you know, just the, there's a teacher, a practitioner, he was the head monk, or he still is the head monk of this practice period, right? Koshu, he says he talks about following your breath even when you're, you know, in the midst of your daily activity. So it seems like it's a little hard to do, but you know, we were online, and one of our members was doing that, and she was able to follow the talk and follow her breath. So maybe that's one way of doing Zazen or something like Zazen while you're in your daily life. But also mindfulness is a really is something you can study and do. You know, Google mindfulness, and there's a book, The Four Foundations of Mindfulness. That's a, who wrote that? One of those Western Massachusetts guys, Bari.
What is the Four Foundations?
The Four Foundations, Oh my gosh. Yeah, I had to ask that. No, one of them is feelings. I bet Nenzen knows. I'm not sure what the other is.
Mindfulness of the body.
Yeah.
Mental formation.
Ah. There's one more.
Practice
You're
frequently.
having an experienced practitioner. Yeah. That's actually written by a guy in a different sort of line of Buddhism, but it's a good my sister. Wow. So, do you got one?
The Four Foundations of Mindfulness, the Satipatthana Sutra,
Yeah.
mindfulness of form or body,
Right.
mindfulness of sensation or feelings, mindfulness of mental states, mental states, and mindfulness of mental objects, or you could say of thought itself, of conceptions. So those are the four foundations of mindfulness that the Buddha said to coordinate with our breath. So you're breathing in a breath, you're aware of body, you're aware of sensation, you're aware of your mental state, and you're aware of your mental formations. So those are the four foundations of mindfulness.
Is that mine? Is that Michael?
Michael.
No.
Oh,
Hi.
hi.
My teacher. Yeah, that's right.
Hi.
You want to take the rest of this?
No. You're on the hot seat,
Okay.
dude.
Wow.
He Googled it.
He Googled it. That's right. Yeah, thank you very much. Anybody else? Anybody else have a question for Mike?
I
have a question for you, Kino.
Okay.
If you were on this walk with the three students and someone drew a circle in the ground in front of you, how would you respond?
Well, I would actually say something. Because neither, both of them made an action, but neither of them uttered a word. And so, and he said, if you can say something, let's go on. I would just say, something like, how about them brewers? I'd say something just so we had it all covered. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Way you're talking about this moment here, that's
Mm-hmm.
it. Both in the truth is underneath your feet and this expression of now.
Yeah.
We can't go on unless we're in this, right?
Right.
First we get into this, and then this, and this, and then we'll get to that. And I think it has something to do with this mindfulness question as well. Like, what is the truth of this in each moment of your life, not just the thought?
Yeah, okay. Now let's see if I can repeat this.
Oh, you don't have.
Well, no, I mean, did everybody hear what Nenzen said? No, okay. So she said the whole idea of the truth is shining out from under your feet or your seat. It's mindfulness. It's where are you in this moment and in the next moment and in the next moment. And so that's in a way that's an answer to your question that it's that's what mindfulness is, being aware of where you are and being in the moment. So how's that? Okay.
I got one on traffic.
Okay.
So I'm in it.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I am in this, you know? And then I say, oh, I'm part of it.
Yeah.
I am the traffic.
You're slowing down the guy behind you, right? Yeah.
So my question with the third monk outside the circle doing the curtsy or the standing bow, is that a woman?
No, it's a man.
Oh.
Yeah, but for some reason, that's the bow he made. And they call it a curtsy because it's the bow that was sort of assigned to women back then. Well, assigned, but that's the bow that women did back then in the 8th century AD.
I don't even know if I know what a curtsy is.
Well, a curtsy is like, you know, when you bend your one knee and you hold your skirt out like that. And I don't know, do you?
Anybody do it?
Yeah.
But that's not the curtsy he's talking about. He's talking about standing down.
The stowing, yeah. The...
curtsy,
you
have to do this growing up.
Yeah, you tilt your head a little to the side. That's a curtsy. Thank you for curtsy. Anybody else? Yeah, yes. Right. Well, I think the future and the past are part of this moment. But yeah, being in this moment, that's not the focus of this moment. You don't want to get lost in cogitation about the past, you know, reliving the past. But we're all sort of products of our past. And I don't know, we're not at the future yet, but we're oriented toward the future. But the main thing is this moment. The main thing in mindfulness. Is that help? Thank you. Follow up, okay. Well, the truth is sometimes hard to...
Excuse me, Tom?
Yeah.
Could you repeat the question, please?
Oh, yeah, sorry. The lady who asked the first question about how do you carry Zazen into your daily life? Now, let's see, your question now is... I'm sorry, what is it again?
Your answer for my question is mindfulness.
Mm-hmm.
My question is why mindfulness will help us to see the truth.
How can mindfulness help us to see the truth? That's her question. Do you, Jackie, do you have an answer?
No, I absolutely don't have an answer.
Oh, you have an answer?
I feel like when you are really at a not stressful state, uh-huh. when you are back to where you are, relaxed, you are way more creative and have a solution for your problem. Or you realize what's more important. Like, you have to relax. You cannot be stressed out or worried, or you uh-huh. have to be calm. That's, you will be in your most white wisdom will come up naturally when yeah. you relax and calm down back to yourself.
That's good. Yeah. Yeah. That's very good. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Wisdom is more likely to come out when you are mindful, when you are, that's good. Then when you're relaxed and into the, did you all hear that? She's sitting right up here. Yeah. So yeah, wisdom's a good thing, and you should allow it to. You should be able to reach it, and it's if you're in a mindful state, if you're sort of almost a meditative state in your daily life, you're more likely to do something that's wise. I think that's very good. Yeah. Well, the truth is, hard to fathom sometimes. I used to be a journalist, and a lot of you're interviewing all these people, and not all of them are truthful. And the truth is. Yeah, it's something that what was I saying the other day? Yeah, just having being you can't always see the objective truth. But you can feel what's real, and you can feel what's fake. You can tell that, and that's something that's worth doing. Yeah, and then wisdom is part of seeing what's true and what's not. I don't know if that helps. Mm-hmm. The truth of no self. What is it?
Emptiness.
The truth of emptiness and the truth of no self. Yeah. That's something that you can deal with zazen. And can you deal with it? Yeah, if you're if you're driving up the hill and you're empty, you're not, a couple of times when I pulled over, people didn't flash their taillights at me. I got mad at them. And, I didn't give them a finger. I think if I was, a little emptier, I would have let them be themselves, and then not attached to, I wanted their respect, I wanted them to flash their lights at me, say, oh, we appreciate you, oh Zen master,
Not everybody knows the rule.
Yeah, right. That's true. They might have been from out of town too. Yeah.
Also, they might be also going to their own struggle.
Yeah, they might. Yeah, they might have been mad at somebody. Yeah, or sort of just attached to being a fast car. I think there are some people that are attached to having a fast car. Yeah. What? Thank you. Okay. Oh, yes.
A large portion is planning.
Yeah, that's right. Right.
Now I switch to this.
Yeah, yeah. I guess when you plan, you got to be right in planning. You know, that's I don't know, maybe Daishin might be able to answer that better. Cause you're a really good planner. I think, well, you're a good note taker.
Sure. I give the appearance of being
okay.
What comes up are maybe two things. So the first thing, Inho just said, we can only take that planning activity in the present.
That's right.
So be grounded where I am right now. Chance of thinking well about the future. Who knows?
Yeah.
Have a list full of Oreos. But the other thing that comes up is to hold whatever planning lightly. Because I don't know how the future is going to turn out.
Yeah.
And if I'm planning as well as I can, I really don't know. So, okay, this is what I think I'm going to do, but I'm also open to the surprise.
Yeah. That's sort of emptiness. Bit emptiness. Good one.
You like it? I always spend time planning. I want a perfect solution for tomorrow.
Yeah.
But I think all time, they have.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. You don't know what's going to come up. Yeah. I appreciate those questions. Yeah, they're not easy. Yeah, yeah. Well, let somebody.
One solution can apply to many. Like when you teach you how to drive, you can apply to every other aspect of the life. Other places.
Yeah, can apply to. I'm sorry.
Like if when master or teacher teach us how to drive, right? The philosophy behind it, you can use this philosophy apply in every other aspect.
Yeah.
Not just driving, anything.
Yeah, there was a Zen teacher in Los Angeles. Was it Mayazumi? Whose teaching was drive the speed limit. But I'm afraid to drive the speed limit on some. What? Yeah, you're going too fast. The speed limit is. Yeah, and with your. What?
Way too slow. He said too slow, you said too fast.
Yeah, it was too fast for me. You know, on Skyline Boulevard, it says the speed limit's 50 for part of it. I can't drive 50, but I'm from Milwaukee. So we don't have curvy roads like that. Yeah.
Necessary to be and integrated, not separate. And it strikes me that Buddhism is a very comprehensive approach to this, and it starts with this truth. And you can start with the Four Noble Truths, which are how he explains to you. But this is the foundation for they're called truths.
That's right.
Like you call them ennobling. Rather than noble. They're not noble on the one you have to enact them. But if you look at these truths, they are a way of looking at the entire world. Meaning your plan and your history. So that's the Buddha's teaching, this comprehensive thing. It covers everything.
Okay, let me repeat that for our friends online. Yeah. So Nansen said, it's when we're talking about the truth, she's referring to the Four Noble Truths, which are, the truth of suffering, the truth of the cause of suffering, the truth of being able to stop suffering, and then the Eightfold Path, which is what you follow to stop suffering. So that's those truths can help you see the truth in each moment. How is that? Yeah. Okay. That is confirmed. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Is it getting late? Okay. Well, you want to ask the last question?
Last question of your life. Go for it.
Question of this moment. Yes.
So is the truth same for all of us?
I wouldn't think it was the same for all of us. It's, the Four Noble Truths are the same, but your own truth is something that you can become one with. It's shining out from under your feet. Your feet, not under everybody's feet. I mean. Okay.
What is it?
Yeah. Well, sometimes they say life is suffering, but it's the truth of suffering. In your life, you've got to experience suffering, and it comes from craving, desire. If you are too desirous of
too extreme,
then you're gonna suffer because you're not gonna get what you want. And then third one, you can stop this suffering. And then the fourth one is, here's how you stop it. Follow the eightfold path, which is which maybe I can tell you, it's a right view. Right thinking, is it? Right speech. Right mindfulness is in there. What?
Effort,
right effort. Virya, yeah. Right effort is to right concentration, right wisdom then. Yeah, okay. So those turn up in a lot of these lists. Concentration, wisdom, and then right mindfulness. Yeah, right mindfulness is the eighth.
Thank you for listening to this podcast offered by Jokoji Zen Center. Our Dharma talks are offered free of charge, and this is made possible by the donations we receive. Your support helps us to continue to offer the Dharma. For more information about Jokoji, please visit us on the web at jokoji.org.